The next item on our agenda starts at J. And for this, it's an action item. It's the court facilities courtroom layouts. And we welcome Justice Brad Hill and Kelly Quinn.
Well, good morning. It's as always, it's great to be here, Chief, and members of the council. I'm here in my role as chair of the Court Facilities Advisory Committee to briefly review some issues that we've been dealing with over the past 6 months. In some cases, specifically the courtroom layouts, a little bit longer than that. I want to discuss the work that we've done to develop the catalog of courtroom layouts, another tool used to save money during the process of designing new courthouses. Secondly, I'd like to give you a brief update on the use of the Project Labor Agreement, or PLAs, in the new San Diego courthouse. And finally, I want to touch base on what we've done to ensure that the capital program is being managed and staffed effectively and efficiently. As you all know, reducing the cost of the capital program has been one of the key initiatives of our advisory committee. In December of 2011, just a few months after we kicked off our first meeting, we went to the council with a recommendation for a mandatory 4% reduction of hard costs for all of the new courthouses. The council at that time adopted the recommendation, launching a process to reduce the cost overall of the courthouse cost reduction or the courthouse construction program. Then in April 2012, we brought to the council a recommendation to reduce costs again in the range of 2 to 10%, depending on the type of project and the status of the development or the status of the project in the development process. And the council adopted that measure as well. And then through the committee's courthouse cost reduction committee chaired by Justice Jeff Johnson, the council has continued to support our efforts. That has been an ongoing process. And the cost savings to date have been a little over $380 million. That has been an intensive process, a difficult process, but one that has yielded great results. And we're very proud of the work that the subcommittee chaired by Justice Johnson, they have done a wonderful job. And when I say it's been difficult because taking $380 million from all of those courts has not been easy, but it's now running, I think, quite smoothly, and we have found ways for efficiencies and other measures to really move forward so that we can go to the legislature and say, you know, obviously we're building courthouses that are efficient, workable, but they are not courthouses that anyone will look at and say that we have wasted one penny. These efforts have resulted in that $380 million savings to date, and that those efforts are ongoing. Today we bring you another cost reduction strategy, one that we will believe will save millions of dollars over time as we design new courthouses. We've developed a catalog of 38 possible courtroom layouts. 10 of what we are referring to as typical courtroom layouts, and 28 courtroom layouts in existing buildings and designed for new courthouses now under construction. These layouts incorporate the best thinking and practical experience of judges and court staff across the state. Along those lines, I'd like to thank the PJs and CEOs who have worked with us over the past year to develop this catalog. They have done a lot of work. We received excellent suggestions from them, and I'd like to particularly thank Judge Slough, Judge Wesley, Judge Walsh, Judge Height, Mary Beth Todd, Dave Yamasaki, and many others for the time they've spent with us to review comments, offer suggestions, and develop the catalog as a useful cost-saving tool. The staff that worked on this did a wonderful job as well. Cliff Hamm, Cliff Magnuson, Bruce Newman, Christine Metzger, and also working along with Deidre Benedict and Claudia Ortega, all made this work. And we're at a point now where, moving forward, we're literally going to be saving millions of dollars. Based on my ongoing discussions with judges and court executive officers around the state, I'm very confident that the courts working on their plans now will be able to work with these layouts to save time and money during the design process. In my experience as a former trial court presiding judge, I found that if you ask 20 judges how best to design a courtroom, you will get 20 very emphatic and different answers.
More like 21.
Exactly. And I know as a PJ, I would have loved having 38 courtroom designs that I could say, go to it. But we have to choose one of these because you would eliminate architectural fees that are in the millions. You would eliminate meetings that are in the hundreds of hours. And you would still have a great courthouse because you have the benefit of judges and court execs around the state who have built courtrooms and courthouses, giving you the benefit of their time and their effort. I've emphasized to the courts around the state, the PJs and the CEOs, that we are flexible. Obviously, if there need to be certain tweaks, those tweaks can be made. I remember talking to Judge Wesley, and he said the culture with respect to bench conferences in LA and certain trial departments was such and such. And we needed some things just moved around slightly. Done. No problem with that. We just need to have the design layouts that work, and we also need not to have exceptions that you can drive a truck through. But tweaks work, and certainly with 38 designs, I think, and certainly the feedback has been, we can find something out of the 38 designs. These and any adjustments will certainly go through the courthouse cost reduction process and be subject to that to make sure that we don't have any increased cost. As indicated in the report, we estimate that as much as $1.5 million in project escalation costs can be reduced just by saving the time in the design process, and the application of the catalog will also save an additional $7 million across all of the remaining projects. In a nutshell, the process to develop the models has been challenging, certainly, but extremely worthwhile. And now I'd like to deal just briefly with project labor agreements. The committee held a public hearing this past March to learn how the PLA put in place for the new San Diego courthouse has been working. We heard from 8 individuals and organizations regarding their views. They were all different. They were all very strongly held. And I should note that our experience to date is that the PLA has certainly done nothing at all to slow the project down, which was a concern voiced by some. In fact, I'm regularly updated with respect to the progress of the San Diego courthouse, and the staff reported to me in May that the PLA requirements that were in place averted a scheduled delay that would have been as a result of a shortage of masons needed at the time. Because of the requirements in the PLA, the construction contractor was required to bring in masons from other locations, and as a result, the project is on schedule and there were no delays. To date, the PLA seems to be doing exactly what it was intended to do, keeping this project moving forward in a timely and efficient manner so that we can stay on schedule, on budget, building this much needed courthouse. And now, finally, I'd like to deal just briefly with the overall program and summarize for you what we've done to ensure that the capital program is being managed and staffed effectively and efficiently. Soon after the Court Facilities Advisory Committee first met, as we've indicated to you before, back in 2011, we decided to undertake a complete top-to-bottom review of the program, specifically its staffing and management. Under Pat Lucas's able leadership, she and her subcommittee retained one of the most experienced consulting and auditing firms in the country, Pegasus Global Holdings, to help us through this very thorough review. We brought to the council the key findings of the Pegasus audit and have been working to implement each and every one of those recommendations. Now, I will tell you that I speak for all members of the advisory committee when I say that we are constantly impressed and amazed at the terrific job done by the capital program staff led by Bill Guerin and Kelly Quinn. Their dedication is inspiring, and as the Pegasus report pointed out, they do this job with the leanest staff that you could ever imagine. Currently, the program is about halfway through building 46 capital projects with a total value of $4.7 billion. The program is in the execution and implementation phase with the main goal of getting all of these projects done. At the direction of the Judicial Council, fiscal year 2015-16, funding for ongoing phases of over a dozen projects across the state, as was pointed out to you earlier, was requested and included in the final budget act. A construction program as substantial in size and scope as this one requires adequate staff to ensure the program is delivered on time and within budget. Since July of 2013, when Bill Guerin took the helm, he has used his experience, which has been over 30 years in the business. He led the effort for the federal courts for years, to tackle some organizational and internal process issues that we all identified and he had identified as needing to be fixed. The capital program team has also identified a significant bottleneck in the contracting area and worked with Slotko, who did a terrific job, to sort through the issues, identify a path forward, and then move forward to resolve a huge contracting backlog. That was a problem that we had identified for you before, and it is no longer a problem. For the first time since the program began, the finance team that serves the capital program is fully staffed, and the results are clear. There's no more backlog in contract and invoice processing, much to the benefit of the Judicial Council's capital program. And again, I want to thank the capital program staff and Slotko for making that happen. We believe that the program is well managed and running efficiently. The program is at its peak of the spending curve, focused on design and construction activities, and is on firm footing to complete the delivery of these much needed projects in a very cost-effective and efficient manner and on time. We thank you for, as always, your support of this program, and I stand open for any questions.
Thank you, Justice Hill. Justice Hull?
Yes, thank you, Justice Hill. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I'm not intimately familiar with, but I'm generally familiar with all the work that you and your committee and your staff have gone through on what is, I think, a very admirable cost-cutting measure that we're going to see great benefit from in the future. I just wanted to ask, as you know, because we have had a couple of conversations, I'm a liaison from the council to Sacramento County, and I believe that there was a concern that they raised because their new county court, criminal courthouse is in the planning stages, and they were concerned about plans that called for every courtroom in the new building with reference to the judge's bench to be ADA compliant, and they disagreed with that is the best way I can put it, but it's my understanding that at least as of Sacramento County that issue's been resolved.
It has been resolved. I give credit to the Sacramento bench and Judge Height, and obviously that's one of those things that makes perfect sense. Obviously, you don't have a parking lot with every stall handicapped, nor do you have necessarily every bench with a lift or handicapped accessible. And so you have to have a happy medium. They met with the state architect, and it looks as though moving forward, at least as to that project, there's been a waiver. And so it will not result in a great addition of space. I think it's about 38 square feet because we still have to maintain room to add it if necessary, but it's a step in the right direction.
Well, I just wanted, as liaison of Sacramento County, I wanted to thank you and your committee personally for, you know, your efforts when you heard about different points of view such as this, and I think this is a perfect example of one that's probably going to work out quite well.
Well, we've enjoyed working with Judge Height and Judge Culhane and look forward to working with them in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Justice Chin, then Justice Miller.
Justice Hill, I'd like to ask you whether or not technology was taken into account in these drawings. I noticed some overhead projectors, but that's all I see.
Absolutely. In fact, the state-of-the-art technology wasn't impacted at all. In fact, we have some courtrooms, and I could defer to staff on that, but probably I would say the state-of-the-art technology that would rival any in the country. So by those cost-cutting efforts, none included carving out technology that is so necessary for the future.
Years ago, I went through a federal building. and they raised all the courtrooms a foot off the ground. And the reason they did that was to do the wiring afterwards. And that was right before everything went wireless. Just a word of caution.
Exactly. I would say that our staff is probably a step ahead of the fence.
Justice Miller.
I just wanted to commend you and your committee and the individuals that you listed, because having been intimately involved in those discussions in some sense from the executive and planning aspect, I found it to be a prime example of our deliberative process and our committee process and our involvement of so many individuals who have direct involvement in this. And so I just want to commend you and all of those, because, again, it's a testament to me that our committee structure works and that our involvement of judicial officers and stakeholders works. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Herman, then Judge Rosenberg.
Justice Hill, as you know, my court's in the midst of the design phase of a new criminal courts building, and so the good work on terms of the courtroom templates has been extremely helpful to us, as well as all the other good work that your committee and the group that has been involved has accomplished. So I just want to say on behalf of the trial court PJ, thank you very much for all that you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Judge Rosenberg, Judge D'Alba, then Judge McCabe.
Justice Hill, I certainly join those comments. You've done a wonderful job over the years. I wanted to give a quick trial court perspective. I really appreciate the fact that you have this array of designs, that it's not limited to a handful, but you have a number of options. And I wanted to emphasize that the trial courts that have developed their designs and have built courthouses or in the process of building courthouses really did put in a lot of time and effort in that development. Just as one example, in my court, we got a warehouse and built a full-size courtroom out of cardboard and wood. Just to analyze lines of sight and movement. So a lot of thought went into the design. So I'm glad we're not remaking the wheels, and I think future judges can be assured that their colleagues have put a lot of time and effort and thought into designs that you're going to find in this matrix.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you. Now Judge D'Alba, Judge McCabe, and Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to add to Justice Miller's comment and Judge Rosenberg's comment about those that deserve credit. One gentleman in particular who's not here anymore, Kurt Child, who I know worked very closely with Justice Hill on all aspects of court construction, from acquisition to funding to design to helping in the legislature to make sure that our projects were in fact on time and that these local communities got what they expected, these brand new projects. And that I know he was very active as well with your subcommittee on the cost reduction. So I wanted to make sure we did not forget Kurt Child's diligent efforts over the years.
Thank you. He did a terrific job on this project. And I should point out that this project is a prime example of why the judicial council process works. When we initially had this idea and when the subcommittee came forward with the idea of templates, there were too few templates and it wasn't going to work. And it was pointed out that it probably would present some problems. And so it wasn't ready for prime time, didn't come to the council, and therefore about a year's worth of work went into it. Now, today, assuming that there might be a favorable vote and perhaps even a unanimous vote, I would just remind those people listening on the line that there was about a year's worth of work and hundreds of people working on this process from multiple trial courts around the state. So it's not a matter of a rubber stamp, but in fact, in this case, sending it back for further review and then bringing it to the council when it was ready. So the process worked.
Thank you. Judge McCabe and Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. First, I'd like to note that I had a front row seat, as many of the other presiding judges did, at the various events where this issue was brought up. One of them, Judge Heiberger, was the recipient of some interesting points of view. And then Justice Hill was brave enough to appear at one of our executive committee meetings. And then, of course, we only picked the shyest of wallflowers that we could find to put on a subcommittee and then present you with them. I'm extraordinarily pleased, and I think this is representative of the presiding judges, of how this was handled. Instead of listening to them and letting it, like water off a duck's back, just flow and then moving forward, you stopped, and then you took the presiding judges and CEO comments into consideration. You made them feel more as we believe we should be, is partnering in these types of events, because they have real world, extensive, relevant experience with opening courts and building courts. We are very pleased that we're at the table, that we were heard, and I think this recommendation is Exhibit A for a job well done in bringing the trial court perspective to view. I would note that we're pleased as punch, and we certainly aren't in disfavor of 37 models. I mean, good Lord. That's impressive when we heard that. So I, as the incoming chair, and I'm not kicking Marsha out yet, the trial court presiding judges advisory committee want to relay on behalf of the presiding judges that we are very grateful that our voice was heard, and we partnered on this, and hopefully for a better product, and that this is how the system will continue to operate. And then with that, I will move adoption of the recommendation.
Thank you, Judge McCabe. Second by whom? I'm sorry.
Justice Miller
and Judge Jacobson. Thank you. And then we'll hear from Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to echo the compliments, and particularly also Justice Hill to staff. Kelly Quinn, I know, is here, and I think she's been stated an invaluable resource, and I want to thank staff for tremendous work that they've done in all these related projects. And I also wanted to echo a comment you made, Justice Hill, that I think is very important, not only on this subject, but many other proposals that come before the council. There may be a unanimous vote or close to unanimous vote, but I think a lot of people really need to appreciate it's really a bottom-up organization. I'm quoting Judge Kaufman in that regard, that ideas such as this originate perhaps with a trial judge or staff in a court and get vetted through various committees and our internal committees, and it's more of a consensus of that thorough vetting more than a top-down sort of administration. I thank you for making that comment.
Well, thank you. And a year ago, it might have been a 13-12 vote, and you don't want to establish statewide policy on that. So I think we're in a better position at this point.
Thank you, Justice Hull. And we thank Mr. Guerin and Ms. Quinn for being here. I will say, back in 2011, when it became clear to me that the judicial branch had a $5 billion commitment to build our own facilities and to modify and to repair them, unlike any other judiciary in the country, it gives a person chills. And so the recommendation was to create an oversight committee, who then took on the most, I think, far-ranging commitment that I have seen in my time on the council. And I'd like to point out that the first thing that you did was to self-assess and move forward from there. And I could not have more confidence in the work you've done, the work the construction division has done. And I have only one word, and that is bravo. Yep. Bravo.
Thank you.
So we have the motion in front of us. All in favor on recommendation number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous, Justice Hill.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Quinn.